Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Eddie Caulfield here.
Hey, Ed. How are you?
I'm good. How's the fishing?
Good.
Kenny's on.
Caught some pompano the other day.
You must be eating so well.
I am. I've been eating it for, I interrupted it by catching some snook and trout, but the trout are delicious, you know. Sea trout. My dog.
Call them weak fish up.
Huh?
We call them weak fish up north.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're plentiful and they're fun to catch, but you know, when I go out by myself on my boat. Or with a buddy, where I'm driving the boat, I feel really good when I actually catch fish. It's a little different than going with somebody else, you know, somebody else's
boat. Oh, totally.
Yeah, a guide or something. So I'm actually becoming a fisherman.
It's not as much fun. My good friend of mine is a charter captain, and going fishing with him is just, yeah, I tell him it's just stupid. It's like work. You know, he knows exactly what he's doing, and it's
right.
Just go out and kill him. And when I go by myself, if I get something good, it's an accomplishment. It's a trophy. Where with him, it's a dozen trophies.
No, it's true. They know where to go, what to get, what everything. But anyway, so how is how is Supernova treating you all?
It's keeping us busy.
Yes, it is.
That's for certain. So is Christopher on?
He's on the phone with Larry Cole, but he told him, you know, he's got a call that he's already late for. So he's
okay.
He's actually literally hanging up right now.
All right, good. Yeah, we've been busy.
Sorry, gentlemen.
No, thanks. Anyway, welcome. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
So is it translating? Ed was saying it's been busy, but is it translating into revenues? I hope. Is it?
I don't think it's translated into revenues yet. I feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We see the potential, and we're still working towards it. But I feel like we're still continuing to make good steps towards getting the rails on the track in terms of just the organization, getting the meetings with each other, getting organized as a team, getting a sense of purpose behind these monthly calls. And we're all driving towards an end goal here, which I think is going to eventually lead to revenue. And I mean, my dad's really doing a great job with the networking aspect. And it's just, I don't know. It's just, we're having conversations where things are getting more cohesive. And I think we're working together better as a team, which is, I think, eventually going to lead us to more revenue. But tangibly, no, not yet. I don't think there's been a dollar yet from it.
Well, I hope there is. I mean, that's what the payoff is supposed to be. Revenues, yes, you can be better organized and the team can do well. But in the end, I just talked to a guy and he's having his best month ever, and he's not quite sure why, but he thinks some of it is Supernova, and I'm hoping that outcome will happen for you guys, because you've been so good about everything, you know?
Yeah, I think it will. With your experience, since you coach so many, where is it that you see, you know, with all the people that you've done, where do you typically start to see an inflection of revenues? Like what month about, just on average?
Well, you know, it's different because, like with this guy, he just wasn't spending enough time with his existing clients.
Right.
So because he's doing that, he's getting a big lift in revenues.
Right.
But if you're already pretty good about talking to clients regularly, and you're charging them enough and you've done enough planning, then you're, you know, you've worked your book pretty efficiently already. So now it's a question of when and how can we turn our activity in prospecting into revenues. And I was speaking with a guy that's helping me edit my new book, and I said, here's the key, I think, with the prospecting piece. Everybody is comfortable with the dentist model when it comes to existing clients. Turning over the calendar to your administrator, to your assistant, CSA, to run the client 1242. But they're not good at turning over the calendar to their assistant when it comes to prospecting. And I said, for me, you know, if I can get people to do that and not judge the outcome before they ever get engaged in the activity, we'll get better results. What do I mean by judging the activity? A lot of people say, well, I don't want to meet with my center of influence monthly. I think I can meet with them quarterly and it's going to work fine. Well, statistically, it just doesn't work that way. You know, the outcome will be better if you meet monthly and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So what you have to do is turn that center of influence meeting over to your assistant, get it scheduled, put it on the calendar, and do it just as if it was a client appointment. And to me, that's part of the problem. Being too judgmental about the outcomes before the activity ever happens. You got to kind of go with the experiment in the confidence that it will in fact work, not that it won't work.
I agree with you there. When you're deal, let's just talk about centers of influence, which. Or it could be a prospect. what kind of agenda do you set for a center of influence that may not yet be a client? You know, may not have their assets here.
Right.
It's obviously different than what you do deal with clients. How do you suggest that moves forward?
Well, here's one team I'm working with right now. And this is, I think you guys would be really, this would be good for you. They, every week, they have a center of influence come in and meet with the team. So when I, you know, some teams just take me very literally. And when I told them, you know, bring the center of influence in, introduce yourselves based on the 5-star model, and then visit with them in their office and have them introduce their team to you, they're literally doing it. I mean, So every week they have a center of influence come in and they stand up and introduce themselves based on the 5-star model. And they're having a great time with it. All right, they said the first time we did it, we weren't very good. We were pretty good. Second time, we were a lot better.
Yeah.
He said, but it was kind of interesting. So I'll give you 4 or 5 questions to ask the center of influence, all right?
Yep, good.
The key is to ask the right questions so they turn around and ask you those questions. So the questions are, what's your minimum? How many clients do you have? What do you specialize in? What makes your practice unique? Okay.
All right, so what's your minimum?
Yeah, what's your minimum? How many clients do you have?
What was the third one?
What do
you specialize?
Yeah, what do you specialize in? What makes you unique? And then what's your ideal client look like?
Okay.
So if you could get them to ask you those questions, clearly you would have a very good story to tell.
Yeah.
And just think about it, right? If you knew that for, let's say you have one CPA that's your number one CPA, right? You like him. He likes you. You enjoy meeting with him. He's got a practice that every one of his clients is a perfect fit for you. Anybody who can refer to you is going to automatically be a good guy because he's, you know.
Yeah,
he's highly qualified, right? So he's number one. You got a guy on deck. He's number two, you know, and then you've got a guy in the wings. He's still in the bullpen, but you meet with him a couple times a year. Maybe the guy on deck you meet with quarterly, and then the other guy you meet with every month.
Right.
Now, here's the hard thing, right, is to find the right three guys.
That's definitely true. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not.
I agree with
you. You're probably going to have to go through 10 CPAs to get to two good ones.
Right. Well, one of the things we were planning on doing, and maybe you could coach us a bit or give us a couple of tricks of the trade, is with our, you know, we were going over the agenda for February. And one of the things that, you know, besides the agenda, what we're going to start to do is every call, we're going to make sure that we have the name of the client's CPA, you know, whatever information they have. These are great questions for when we contact that CPA. But at the end of the month, I would like, you know, I think we should all have every client's CPA and probably have, you know, have all that in the folder, what they specialize in, how long they've been working with this person. Could they, emphatically endorse him or enthusiastically endorse them?
Right. That's the key. Right.
And then you go through, so let's say you end up with 100, right? What's the next step is what, to contact all of them?
Well, no.
I guess you could contact.
Here's what's going to happen. You're not going to have 100. You're going to have some that have the same CPA.
Yeah, okay.
And that's an asterisk, right?
Right.
You got eight people with the same CPA, and they all enthusiastically endorse them.
Right.
Well, that's a very different conversation then with that CPA than people that are neutral towards, you know, just one CPA.
Yeah.
So with the guy that's enthusiastically endorsed by eight of your clients, you can get on the phone and say, hey, congratulations. We did a survey of our clients and ask them if they could enthusiastically endorse their CPA, and eight of our clients out of 100 are doing business with you and all enthusiastically endorsed you. I'd love to meet you. You know, I think it would be in our mutual benefit to meet and get to know each
right.
other since we have so many clients in common. And who's going to say no to that? I mean, they can't say no.
No, that's an easy one. Yeah.
Right, right.
Sure.
So let's say this is your meeting now. This has been the third month that you've met first of all, remember the five steps. Well, when you're thinking about what do I do when I first meet with a CPA? Well, the first meeting is to just to get to meet with them and see if it's a good match, right? See if it's going to be a good fit.
Right, definitely. Yep.
You've got to like this guy. I mean, theoretically, you're going to spend the next 10 years meeting with this guy, so you better like him.
Right. No, no. You know, I've worked with CPAs or with FAs that were working with CPAs, and there's, you know, there's four, you'll go to four or five that are just like trying to get another tax return. And then I always found the best CPAs are CPAs that are been in the business for a while, and if they took over the business from their father or their mother,
yep,
those are great because they have really entrenched,
yeah,
books.
And they're good guys. They're not begging for business, and they're, you know. So the first meeting is to get to know each other, make sure it's a good fit. The second meeting is to do the five-star model. We introduce them to your team. The third meeting is go and visit their team and literally,
yeah,
go to their office and, you know, drink coffee with them and see what it's like to be in their space. And, you know, and then the fourth meeting is where you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. So they say, well, I don't know how to get, you know, introductions for you. And you just say, this is how we get them for you. This is how we got to meet each other. Right?
Right. Yeah.
So you, and then the fifth meeting is you bring a referral to the meeting. It, when you start to, you know, the fifth meeting is we're beginning our monthly meetings. You bring the agenda and you bring an introduction. You know, ideally, right? Every month, the ideal situation is you bring a prospect to the meeting, and he brings a prospect for you to the meeting. That would be perfect.
Do you have a lot of teams or advisors that have the ability to actually bring 12 prospects to one CPA every year?
No, probably not. But, you know, I had a guy that worked for me, and literally every Monday there'd be a stack of notes messages on his desk from friends of hers is referring business to him.
Hmm.
I mean, he was so good at doing this.
Yeah.
That's why I know it works. Now, you got to have that, you know, does it matter if you have a really outgoing personality and you're, yes, it helps, okay?
Sure.
This guy was, he was a networker, you know. He was a connector. He was always working, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Always weekends, nights, everything he did was associated with work.
Right. Yep.
But he had a great social life. All these guys were his friends, you know.
Yeah.
Guys he went to school with, guys he met. So. Does it work? Here's what I've found is that most really big producers have one or two CPAs that they work with. They direct most of their business to them and vice versa. And that's
absolutely
all, that's literally all it takes. And those
that's
guys,
absolutely the truth.
Yeah, they make their life. You know, they just, it's just a wonderful thing. So does it mean every, what I teach is the ideal experience. So if your job every month is to bring an introduction to him and his job every month is to bring an introduction to you, are you always going to do it? No. But if you're trying, you're probably going to do it every other month.
Yeah.
You know, so six is a whole lot better than zero. And would you meet with, you know, would you bother to meet with a guy monthly that could bring you six introductions that were qualified?
Sure.
Hell yeah. You'd do it for one.
Yep, happily.
You know, if he gave you, you know, 20, 30,000 a year in revenues, that'd be worth it, right?
Yep.
So,
right. That fits in with what we're planning on doing, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it, right, last week or
so.
So why don't you guys do this? Why don't you do what that team is doing? Just say, okay, every week we're going to have a meeting in the office whether it be a lawyer or a CPA or a, you know, any other center of influence where we bring them in and do our five-star model. Because you guys have got the team. You know,
right.
I got another guy. He's a sole proprietor. He can't really – he can do it, kind of, you know. But it's sort of silly to have a five-star model presentation with one guy.
I was wondering about that, what they do. All right, and now back to Ken again. I'm the VP of marketing as well. Would you look at that?
Here's what you guys have got to realize. You have a huge advantage over the general population out there that doesn't have a team and isn't, I mean, the fact that, you know, half the team is related is, or most of it is a big deal, because people are always questioning, you know, what's going to happen if you retire? What's going to happen if you get sick? I mean, you know, what's going to happen if you go on vacation? You guys have got all that taken care of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You look good in the professionally. You bring somebody in, you introduce them, you bring them to your space. It's going to look good. They're going to be impressed. You're organized. You show them the five-star model. While you're doing that, of course, Vice President of Brand Management shows them the 12-4-2 model of client service and planning. I mean, you're going to impress the hell out of them.
Yeah, that was good. We need more people, which we all know.
Yeah, the key is to repeat the behavior, you know. Keep repeating it. Don't worry about the outcome. Work on the activity. Increase the activity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited about, I think we're going to be like a month away maybe from where we can have the, beginning all these meetings with the CPAs. And also, I don't know if it's their busy time, but whatever. But where we just gather, we build our spreadsheet this month of everybody's CPA, and then we just start trying to meet all of them. I mean, we're kind of doing we split up our clients. I mean, do you recommend where we meet to get to know each other? Are we going as a team to get to know them for lunch, or we're doing it individually?
Well, I think you meet them individually.
I figured it was the latter, yeah.
Yeah, you want to qualify first.
Right, you want to leverage yourselves and your time as much as possible. I don't want to waste your time. But when they come in to meet the team, then everybody should be there.
Right, okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Because that's kind of the show of force, right? The show of power and the leverage.
Hey, Rob?
I
was just wondering, with CPAs, they're entering their crazy time of year, their busy time of year.
Yeah.
Have you run across any teams or advisors who have been able to offer something to CPAs to help them in their busy time anyway?
Supernova helps them a lot. They've never really thought about it. A lot of them would love to have a practice with 100 clients, giving them $10,000 each. Teaching them how you do that, how you effectively call your clients, how you turn over the dentist model, where you turn over the schedule to your assistant and they take care of, you know, setting up the calls.
Right.
How you have an agenda for every call to make each call much more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy I was talking to earlier, again, he said, my calls are so much more efficient now. My in-person meetings are last half as long as they used to because we get right to the agenda. Yeah, get it done. Then send them an executive summary. There's no calling back wondering what they did or, you know. So
yep.
That's teaching them Supernova is a big, huge help to them because they've never seen anything like it. Sending an executive summary of what you agreed to. I mean, they've never done that. They just do taxes. They know nothing about marketing. Okay, they have no time to market. For you guys to offer joint marketing opportunities for them, you know, when you do an event, you know, you get an exotic car dealer to put on a cocktail party and let them drive the cars for your clients. It's fun, and they get a chance to drive cars they've never driven. You know, you can do it at a local track. You can do it. You know, we did all those things. You bring in a NetJet to your local airport and have them talk to them and get on the planes and maybe sign up a few people for NetJet. So there's lots of high net worth events you can do in conjunction with CPAs and estate planning attorneys. And if you guys figure, you know, well, this is the busy season for CPAs, you can do the exact same thing with patent attorneys or with estate planning attorneys or with other professionals. Sure. It doesn't have to be CPAs.
Right.
You might want to if you get some pushback, just let them alone until for April and work with estate planning attorneys or.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
I was thinking
Ed.
once we gather all the names, either a quick call or an email and just say, you know, we were doing a review with Mr. Smith and we understand you're his attorney and we are, you know, he asked us to forward any information he needs. By all means, give us a call 24/7. We'll help you any way we can to make your job easier. Let us know what we can do to help. That's it.
Well, one of the, you know, you guys, I'm sure, do this for all your clients, but
we do it anyway. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're sending the information to those clients right from your back office, so you don't, you know, the guy doesn't have to keep all his crap anymore.
Right.
You know, that's just facilitating that and just being there in case the guy has some questions about any of the information. It's just a big help, you know, knowing who's who.
Yeah.
And actually making the back office, when you go, you know, tell him to bring his assistant. So, you know, or when you go there to visit him, bring your assistant so they can meet each other. And because those are the people that really get things done, right?
No, it's true. That's good.
Yeah, see, so you want that, you want them to know each other and, you know, having them have a chance to meet somebody and get, you know, be part of the team. It just feels good, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dad, I have a question. The high net worth events or whatever. Wasn't there something going on with a old print shop show or something
crazy
going on with?
February 22nd.
Okay. Still coming up. Okay. That would be before our next Rob Knapp call. I mean, you want to share with him what it is and see if there's any insights?
Maybe we ought to, in my volunteer world, Rob, one of the things I'm doing is, I don't know, maybe we could move this to another event, but my Janice is my wife, her family owns an art gallery, basically, in New York City, and it's been in the business for years and years, generations, and they sell prints, maps, Audubons, Courier and Eyes, things like that, and they have a gallery next door, and for my position in the Historical Society, Oyster Ponds Historical, we're going to have a little fundraiser there
It's going to be on February 22nd. It's a really pretty simple thing, but it's street levels in New York City on Lexington Avenue. And we're going to be inviting people. Kenny's going to come. So, there'll be some schmoozing going on. But I don't know, maybe we could think about Ken doing an event there for other people. You know, for anybody else, accountants, I don't know who. But it is it's a great space. You've been there, and it's something we have. It's good for the shop, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's great for the shop. I mean, you know, get people that love maps. I like maps, you know. A lot of people love maps. They like, you know, they like stuff. They want to see what you got. It's just, it makes it much more interesting.
Yeah.
So, sure, yeah. You do a joint deal with 10 of your couples with 10 of his couples, some CPA, and mix and match and get to know each other's clients and
it's
don't
a good
know
idea.
That they're going to, yeah, it's just a client appreciation event, and somebody happens to need a new financial advisor, you're there, and same with the CPA. So it's just a nice way for networking and,
because
they just don't, they're too busy. You know, they're always one arm paper hanger.
Oh, no,
they never have time to market. And
that's a good idea, Ken. Let's build that out. Be a good thing to do, I think.
Okay. I bet you could probably do that quarterly with different people. Like
it
having a boat.
Bad.
No, it's like having a boat, you know? You know?
Oh, that's why I bought that thing.
Right. But they that's a great thing for everybody, and what a fun thing on street level, Lexington Ave, you know, really nice.
Yeah.
Have some cocktails, you know, and it's fun.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, make it fun. Make it fun for everybody. You know, people
can
do it.
We're good at that.
You know, you can do it from, you know, 5 to 6 or 5 to 6:30 and have everybody just get a cocktail before they hit the trains, you know, or something.
Right, and you can get us some of that fresh fish, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So take some time. You know, whatever you can do, and don't be afraid to combine your social interests with your client interests. You know, invite clients to your things that you're doing to raise money for this or that. That's a great way.
Yep.
You know, then you raise a little money, that everybody's having fun. And you know, all of a sudden you're serving, you know, three masters there. The organization, the Historic Society, your cousin? Stianis is what? Or is it
brother.
Hers?
It's her family.
Her brother.
Yeah.
So you're serving them. They think they're a hero, and you're serving your clients.
Yep. No, it's a win-win. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about what other, you know, organizations you're involved in that might want to take advantage of that. So, you know, and brainstorm with them. Brainstorm with Janice's brother and say, you know, who else has used this? What else have they done? What do you think makes it most effective, et cetera?
Yeah.
They're pretty good. Pretty good.
Productive.
All right.
All right. Thank you kindly. That was great. Some great ideas.
All right, guys. Thanks. And keep up the activity. The key is the activity.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rob.
All right, Rob.
All right. Talk to you.
Take care, sir.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Yeah. You there?
Hello?